Hello, friends. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. I just wanted to tell you that I'm so glad you're taking time to listen to this sermon. It is my hope it'll lift your spirits and then motivate you to move out of your comfort zone. Stay tuned now for a message from Harvest Christian Ministries. It's already in progress.
Somebody give God a praise as you head back to your seats today. Certainly thanking the Lord for everything he has done. And thank him just for being God all by himself. You know, that may seem repetitious to the world. You thanking God again? Yeah, I am. Because he didn't have to do it, but he did. Amen. The word of God today comes from Jeremiah 29:11. It is our theme scripture for the year here at Harvest. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. We want to continue our sermonic presentation from the title, God Has a Plan for You, Part 2. God Has a Plan for You, Part 2. If you made a purchase recently, and I think you have if you're coming off of the holidays, no matter whether it was a large ticket item, maybe you bought a new car, or a new home, or some new jewelry, whatever you bought, that's your business. Maybe it was a small ticket item. Maybe you bought an air fryer, or microwave, or a phone or something. A small ticket item, but when you buy things, it's always important to A, get the receipt, and then to get that warranty. How many people have been burned because you didn't get the warranty? I don't need that. And then something goes wrong. But thank be to God that whenever we purchase in the world, we try and look for the small print. You know, the small print matters. The things they put at the end that you may not read because you just look over it, but there's always some type of an agreement between the buyer and the seller. If you don't read those terms and conditions, then you'll miss out on what it is that you have bought and what your rights are. In fact, we've downright laid people off, laid them out. Because why? We saw one thing, but it said another. I believe that God has a plan for each of us. And the details are in writing in the Word of God. Everything that you need is in the Word. Any advice that you need, it's found somewhere in the Bible. And the way the Bible is written, it's described in such a way that we can understand it. The only way to become familiar with that plan is to review it from time to time. Amen? Every time you pick up the word, you can review and be reminded of what God has promised you, what God has laid out for you, what God has presented just to you, word by word, line by line. Well, during our last time together, we talked about this text. It comes out of a larger letter that Jeremiah wrote from Jerusalem to the people of God in Babylon. They were in exile. They found themselves living in a place that was not their home. Amen? If we leave for 2 or 3 days, we just miss home. How many folk are like that? If I miss about 3 days, I'm like, well, you know, it's been nice. But I'm about ready to go home. But imagine these people who had been captured and found themselves in a foreign land. But the text says, I know the plans I have for you. That God is the author of the plan. God has the knowledge. He knows what he's doing. Anybody know that today, that God knows what he's doing and he knows what to do and he knows when to do it. He knows how to do it. And so we talked about it being personal. In this particular text, in this passage, it mentions that four times, I know the plans I have for you. That makes it personal. You. Four times. And so take that and take the you and personalize it today. That God, you know the plans that you have just for me. Even when I have messed up my 5-year plan, you know how to come alongside and take the big idea and expand it even more. So our focus this morning is to look a little further in the promise and the plan of God. I was going to break this up and say, I'm just going to do today, you know, harm you and prosper you. And then I said, no, you got to get all that, all the meats right there. You can't just drag that for another week. I mean, you may as well go ahead and just unpack all of that. So we're going to do that. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. Amen. Plans to prosper you. If you're in a place like the people of Israel were, to be able to hear something about prosperity must have got them excited. Because, again, they wanted a quick fix. You know, I know we messed up, God, and we're here, but how long is it going to be? And it was established that it's going to be 70 years before you come out of this. Amen? And we must take off our modern sunglasses and our modern spectacles to look at what does prosper means. You hear some gospels and all it tells you, if you just jump two times and share this email and forward it, money is coming your way. Y'all heard that. You just hit this with 10 people and then go check your mailbox. That's the world's definition of prosperity and prosperity gospel. But the word literally means in the Hebrew to push forward, to pass through, to get on, and to do it with the peace of God in tow. That God is less concerned about things. Why? God has everything. God made everything. God owns everything. He is not concerned about things. He's concerned about our spiritual prosperity. Are we growing? Are we using the gifts that he's given us to the glory of God? He is more concerned about that. Now, Reverend, I understand that, but, you know, God, I'm down. I need a little something. Yeah, God can do that, too. And if you've been blessed, you know that God has opened doors for you that no man can close. He's given you prosperity spiritually, and he's done it also by way of the world standards. Amen? Amen. Oh, we know we're living in a society. We're doing a whole lot better than we used to be doing. Yeah. I'm not coming to your house now, but isn't God good? We think about how he's brought us down to the years, things that we took for granted. Now we can say, God, thank you. Amen? Amen. And so he's able to do it. Here's what caught me all week. He's able to prosper you in the midst of what you're going through. Amen. It's already baked in. That even though you're in a struggle, does not mean that God is not prospering you. Because you're going through, you say, well, I don't see any evidence of me prospering. God says, I am prospering you right now by way of my spirit. I love Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of your need. Let me stop there. All of your need. All of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's able to do what? To supply you. Why? He knows what you need. Amen? Now, we talked about this. There's need and there's want. We want a lot of stuff. I want it. Why? I just want it. Because my neighbor got it. I want it. I don't know nobody. I'm not sure if your name is Jones. What about the Joneses? Amen? But we'll look at this sometimes and feel like that God has forgotten us. but he's taking care of all of your need. Amen. He has a plan to prosper us spiritually so that we might have everything that he needs. Prosper, bring you through. And this happens in the midst of what they're facing. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Keeping God at the center. They don't say, I didn't say that you should desire nice things. Don't say that I said, oh no, just live the poverty life. No. Amen. God can work it out, but make sure you know who is the source. Amen. Amen. Ever run into somebody and say, oh, it was God. Nice car. Oh, it was God. It was God. God makes a way out of no. Now, you got to go work now. You got to make your payments sometime and all of that. Your credit got to be good. Praise God. But God makes a way to prosper you. And then this, not to harm you. God will protect you from evil and from evil folk and evil things and evil plots that may be happening in your life experience. And the people of Israel knew about that. They were in captivity. Why? Because they had done evil. I listened to a good bit of Jeremiah this week. I've tried it, the Bible on tape. I just put it on, I'm driving. Say, oh my God, oh God. And I keep hearing how God would save the people from a trouble and they would start worshiping idol gods. He'd send word, come back to me, you mess it up, and they'd do something else. Don't that sound familiar? God brings us out. Once we get out, we mess up again. Thank God for his grace. And they had done evil deeds. They knew what it meant to be evil, and so they had disobeyed God. They had disobeyed him. And so as a result, they found themselves. But even so, he says, won't nobody mess with you. Amen? Even though you've not been all you could be, God still has got goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. Amen? Aren't you glad to have God's executive protection? Things you didn't even know about, things that were coming your way you couldn't see, but God had your back. He gives us reassurance. Word says over in Isaiah 41:10, to fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He's always looking out for us. Even when folk have dug a ditch for you, they set you up and lied on you, double-crossed you. And yet, even so, you come out smiling. Why? Because you serve a mighty God. He says, won't nobody mess with you. I've got you covered. And it says even when it comes to the enemy, the thief comes for one reason, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, that you might have life flowing over. God's got you covered. Amen. He says, my plan for you is not to harm you and let nobody else harm you either. I'm glad to be in the family of God. God wants to protect us from ourselves. You heard the old saying, you're your own worst enemy. And some stuff we just keep digging ourselves into. Bad habits, God pulls us out, and we dig back in it again. And God delivers us, and we dig it in again. But thank God for his grace, and thank God for his mercy. He still say, no harm will come to you. That's the good news. It is God's plan to prosper you and not to harm you and to give you hope. I hope it won't rain tomorrow. I hope, that check get here on time. I hope. We live a life sometimes of the hope so. I hope so, maybe so, but don't you know you God has prepared you to live a life of no so? Amen. Amen? Amen? There's some things you ought to just no so. That I know God will protect me. I know God will guide me. I know God will keep me. I'm not going to say, well, I hope he will. Has God ever come through for you?
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. It works within the realm of faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By faith, the elders obtain a great report. Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That you don't just get hope and just show up, but hope comes from your believing that God, you can do anything. Amen? Sometimes we put faith in people, and people will let us down. And faith in ourselves. Having that discussion this morning, we said, oh, I got this. But you need God to get through whatever you are going to accomplish. Bring him in. I love the scripture that says doing all things as unto God. In other words, on that man's job, you ought to do your work. Why are you doing it as unto God? Uh-oh, got quiet up in here. Every 2 weeks, you're getting that check. Every 2 weeks, you get to buy a little something to eat. So we do our job. Come on, supervisors. We do our job as unto God. God didn't make you no, oh, let me get back on script. God didn't make you no slouch. But this sense of hope is so key. I love Romans 8:24-25. It says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do with patience we wait for it. God says your plan has in it hope. I won't harm you. I'll prosper you. And then we'll close up that verse by saying, I will give you a future. The people were expecting, as I said, a quick release. But God's plan was to bring them through to show them a thing or three. Amen? God got to bring us through some stuff to show us. But he does have a future for us. You know, I laugh now, but I grew up in a farming community. And in my school was something called the FFA. Some of y'all country. That's called the Future Farmers of America. Now, you know, I want no part of that. My daddy farmed. I did not want to be a farmer. I took a course. Learn how to weld, but this was a sense that you are going to be a farmer because you live in a farming community. And so God has your future already mapped out for you, that you're not where you are by accident. God has been in the plan. He was going to deliver them, not in their time, but in your time, God. And I've said it a couple of weeks that the world may say, now, you should be here. I've been saying it, you should be here. But you're not there yet, according to man's standard. That you ought to be, at your age, man, you ought to be here. But God already has worked out the best plan for your life. He knows your future. He's bigger than your 401k. He's bigger than all that. God, in fact, he's giving you glimpses of your future right now. We waiting. I'm waiting for you to come through. I'm waiting for you to deliver me. I'm waiting. You're already living in it. If you examine, you'll see already that God is developing you to be who you are in him. Based on the plan. The world's plan tells you where you ought to be. God shows you where you are and that he's with you always, even to the end of the earth. The world wants you to look ahead and get depressed about where you ought to be. They want to discourage you. But consider the right now where God has you. Are you okay where you are right now? I'm okay. I'm okay where God has me for right now. I thank him because you know what? If I had planned it, I'd have gone off the deep end. If I had planned it, I'd have been all over in the ditch. If I had planned it, I would. In fact, I did mess it up, but he straightened it up and he fixed it up and he lifted me up to a place to where he shown me, I know your future. That's good news. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, seeing is a part of the plan of God. Song says, oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass. Home at last, ever to rejoice. God's plan will never expire. God's plan will never go out of date. Why? It is written in the blood of Jesus. Signed, sealed, and delivered from the blood that was shed on that cross. His plan cannot fail. Other plans may run out, but not the plan of Jesus. His plan calls for him to return, to claim his own. And while we wait for his return, in the meantime, we ought to just lift him up. Song says, how to reach the masses, men of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave the key. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto him. And so while you're waiting to see what's going to happen, just lift him up. Don't spend your nights concerned about what tomorrow holds. He knows your tomorrow and your today, but spend time lifting him up. Anybody will help me lift Jesus? Lift him higher and higher and higher and higher. He says, I'll draw all men under me. Thank God for a plan. Thank God for a Savior who makes a way out of no way. He has a plan just for you. He planned one day for a small town boy. He planned one day for a boy with a speech impediment. He planned one day for a boy who wanted a career that caused him to talk. And like a Moses, he took my stammering tongue. And now I can stand and declare he is God all by himself. If it were up to me, I might have faltered. But God does have a plan for you. Do you believe that he has a plan just for you? I know the plans I have for you. It is to do what? It is to prosper you and not to harm you. Give you hope and give you a future. That is the word of God today. Already blessed. All that in the plan. Written down. In writing. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In the plan. It's about him and not about you. Just as you are.
Come and see. Come receive. Come and live.
just as you are. Oh, yeah.
Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forever.
Even as we come today, God has always had a plan for our lives. Since the beginning of time, as we come, we're reminded in this day and age, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't downright yourself. And let no one else do it. That God, day by day, is revealing His plan for your life. As we come today, Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Our prayer today, God, there's one in this place with no plan because they have no God. We pray even now. Your word says we confess our sins unto you. Believe that you died and rose again. In our hearts, confess it. Thou shalt be saved. In salvation itself is a plan. Plan to change the hearts of men. God, it's our prayer today, beyond these walls, that you might keep revealing who you are. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. There might be one today who desires to be a part of Harvest Christian Ministries. Maybe you've been waiting, and the doors are always open for you. What that means is, in plain terms, you can join today if you want to. We love you. We receive you. But what's most important is that you know Jesus. That's it. There's some reassurance in that, and knowing the Savior. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord today.
Thanks so much for listening. I want to tell you about a couple of other ways you can be inspired, of course by CD, but you can also listen to our sermons on the website we have for you. It's www.cometoharvest.org. That's come2harvest.org. Or by way of sermonaudio.com. That's sermonaudio.com. All you have to do is to search for Harvest Christian Ministries. You can also listen to our daily devotionals. They're new, and they're really gaining popularity. They're called Seeds of Encouragement. You can get them by way of iTunes, from podcasting, or from Facebook. Either way, we want to inspire you on a daily basis. Have a great day in the Lord. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Be blessed.